Welcome to At Home in Chattanooga, your go-to podcast for scenic city living, real estate tips, and expert insights on building, lifestyle, and the local economy. Sponsored by Pratt Home Builders. Discover what's new in new construction at prattliving.com.
Hey there, y'all. It's Brittany with Pratt Home Builders here for our very first Pratt Home Builders podcast. And so we thought it appropriate, of course, to kick off this podcast with two incredibly special people to Pratt Home Builders, Mr. James Pratt and Jennifer Dorsey, our president. So welcome. Thank you all for being on.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
So tell us a little bit about, just introduce yourselves if you would, and tell a little bit about how long you've been at the company and what various roles you've had over the years, the 25 years that we've been in business.
Well, my name's James Pratt, and we started the company in 1999, I think. And Wynn and I started from scratch, just did a little small development out off of Red Bank, and started off slow. I think the first year we built 5 or 6 houses, and next year we built 10. Jennifer shows up somewhere along shortly thereafter, and from that point forward, we've just grown each year and struggled like all builders did in 2007, 2008, 2009. Kind of rebranded and re-identified who we were, who we wanted to be. And from that point on, I'm going to say from 2010 up through today, we've really, really thrived. And it's been fun. It's been a fun ride for me watching, being around all the young people.
So my name is Jennifer Dorsey, and I started at Pratt Home Builders in early 2003. So I have been here for a lot of this ride. And when I started, I was young, and I just wanted to be around home building and building houses. I knew that was my passion. And I loved designing floor plans, and I wanted to have an opportunity to design floor plans that people would actually live in. And so that's kind of where I started. And when you are able to do those sorts of things, such as designing floor plans, now you have to answer some questions like, how much does it cost? And so I started then estimating, and became very integral in the estimating and purchasing processes. And then, you know, over time, you don't really understand where you're going. Sometimes you just kind of are doing things on a day-to-day basis. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're building 50 houses and 100 houses. And so I think over time it just grew into something that we didn't really know what it was going to grow into. And someone asked me the other day, well, when you guys started this, is this what you were trying to do? And it was like, no, I was just trying to go build some houses and and hopefully build them well and create something that was really a nice place for someone to live. And we didn't know that it was going to mushroom into the number of homes that we've built, communities that we've developed. We've gotten better and better at creating amenities over the years. We've gotten better at creating different types of homes. We have gotten better at just all of it, the design process and how we integrate that with our home buyers' experience, our warranty processes. And so we didn't know where this was going when we started, I don't think.
You're talking about not knowing where it's going.
Yeah.
What about me? You know, I moved to Chattanooga in 1990, and I wasn't even in the home building business. I was in a different business altogether. And I was 50 years old and sold that business and thought I was going to play golf for the next 25 or 30 years. And Wynn came along and he had finished UT and he thought that we needed to get in the home building business. He had gotten his real estate license and we had started this small development that we talked about, and we were struggling trying to figure out how we were going to make it work. And he came to me one day and said, you know, I think if we're going to make this thing work, we got to get in the home building business. And I said, Wynn, I don't think I want to get in the home building business. I don't want to worry about counting for every 2x4 and every nail that gets lost. He said, well, you know, if we're going to make this work, that's what we got to do. And I said, okay, go get your construction license and let's see what we can do. And that's what he did. And from that point forward, as Jennifer said, we've just grown and grown and grown and had no idea in my wildest dreams, I never would have ever dreamed that a kid from Mississippi who was in the propane business that in 1990 decided he wanted to come to Chattanooga and create basically a new life for himself. And here we are today. And I guess we're still the largest independent home builder in Chattanooga.
We are.
And, I couldn't have envisioned that in my wildest dreams. But as I said earlier, it's been a really, really fun ride.
That's right.
Most rewarding thing that I've ever done is just to watch what we have done. It's really Wynn and Jennifer and Darren, and I've just kind of been kind of the bean counter behind the scenes. And it's been fun to watch them create a company that's really pretty special.
Don't let James fool you. He's more than the bean counter behind the scenes. He's in some ways has kind of been our true north compass in terms of it's setting some expectations about if we're going to do this, we're going to do it the best we can. We're going to do it the best of anybody in this area that is doing it. And really, you know, always having these values of treating people the way that you would want to be treated, being fair, being good business people. And so I think those values early on really set the tone for how we were going to build the business and allowed us to build the business the right way. We built it very organically by building a few houses and building on that each year. And the lessons that we learned sometimes were hard lessons, but again, we learned that very organically. And today I meet people and they always think, well, I don't know if they think I was president on day one, but that's not the way it happened. It's something that evolves from hard work and really putting yourself into it and continuing to learn and grow each and every day and having the curiosity to try to get better and to try to learn more. And the things that I've been exposed to over the last 22 years, it was just tremendous. I know a little bit about a lot of things. And I would say you're probably the same way, James, that, you know, you say you're just a bean counter, but we've done so many various things and you just learn and build on that. And it doesn't happen overnight. And so I think a lot of people assume you can start a home building business and you go from zero to 200 homes in a year, and that's not the way it works. And the number of businesses and companies that we've started to support our own home building business, such as a cabinet company, a earthwork company, those were really there to support the needs that we had to continue to grow our business.
Right, and even in we started our own dirt moving and road building company simply because, you know, a lot of things happen in life just out of need. And I guess, seven or eight years ago, we needed more lots to support the 200 homes that we were building. And all the dirt moving people were busy and couldn't give us enough lots. So we went in there and just kind of stepped up to the table and said, you know, we'll go borrow some money.
Figure this out.
We'll buy some equipment and we'll get in the dirt moving business and the pipeline business. And quite frankly, I don't know what we'd have done if we hadn't done that.
That's right.
Because they've been able to move enough dirt and deliver enough lots so that we can continue to build the number of homes that we've been able to build. So, you know, so often you just don't know what's around the corner.
That's right.
And sometimes you just got to take a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Just because your gut says this is what we need to do.
And let's try it.
Yeah, and you know, every decision you make in life is not always a good decision. Sometimes you make decisions, every decision you make in life you think is the right decision when you make it, but you really don't know until some point thereafter.
In hindsight.
Whether it be getting married or building houses or building this particular house or getting in the dirt moving business. Some of them are really good decisions and some of them are not. But generally speaking, on the business decisions we've made, we've been pretty fortunate. And I think that's because of people like Jennifer and people like Wynn and people like Nairn that are willing to roll up their sleeves and do whatever it takes to get the job done.
And to figure it out.
Figure it out
as we go.
That's kind of like when Wynn said, I said, Wynn, I don't think I want to get in the home building business. He said, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, it took us a while to figure it out.
Yeah.
So we just, and quite frankly, I don't think you ever figure it out 100%.
No.
you know, we've had some changes in our accounting world, in our accounting department,
and I'm
having to figure out some things that I never had to figure out, and I'm a pretty decent accountant, but somebody else was doing that, and they're not here anymore. So we, myself and two new ladies in the office, we're figuring it out as we go.
Yeah, we're making it better. We're
streamlining the process.
Using technology.
Challenging ourselves every day to try to figure out how to do it better.
That's right.
And kind of part of the philosophy behind this podcast is our position as, to your point, as Chattanooga's leading builder, and we live here too. And so we're really embedded in the fabric of the Chattanooga community, mm-hmm. you know, as much as any local home builder
is.
And so that's where we're so vested. And to your point, just thinking about Chattanooga as a big startup city, big on Entrepreneur Week, Gig City, there are people now moving from all over the globe, of course, to embrace the high-speed internet. Mm-hmm. And so I love your comments on essentially having been a startup at one point in time. And I feel like that's it can be a misnomer or, you know, misunderstanding in a way in the startup ecosystem that you feel like you need to know everything day one to get started. What would you say about just, you know, looking back and noticing how you embrace risk, to your comment on the leap of faith?
That's a tough one. I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I've always been in business for myself. And any time you're in business for yourself, if you're trying to grow that business, you're taking a risk every day. People asked me one time, do you bet on football games? I said, no. I said, I bet every day when we have 40, 50, 60, 70 spec houses out there and all this money, that's all the risk that I want to take. But I think it's different people have different tolerances for risk. And as I was younger, I was pretty tolerant. Obviously, as I've gotten older, and I've conveyed my interest to win in there, so I'm personally not taking a lot of risk anymore. So, but it's a balance between taking too much risk and not taking enough. But I think the people who have been successful are the ones who are willing to take some risk. It's a risk reward game.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, I think home building can be kind of related to the golf saying, it's not about how good you hit your good shots, it's about how good you hit your bad shots.
Yeah, that's a lot of truth in it.
And when you hit a bad shot, how do you recover from that? And do you do something that just doubles down on the risk, or do you do something that's safe and calculated, as I know how to manage that risk, and I know how to if we're taking this risk, are we taking it in a wise manner, in a controlled manner? And if something goes wrong, how do we manage through that? And I think that's what we've done a good job, especially over the years, of getting better at. Like, we understand what types of houses sell, where they sell. We're very particular about what we start on certain lots to make it as good as it can be and minimize that risk.
You know, I alluded to this earlier. In 2007, 2008, 2009 were really pivotal years.
For every home builder.
But when I look introspectively to us, it was really what caused us to become who we are.
Yeah. Hmm.
At that time, we were building kind of a specialty product that we cut our teeth on because we wanted to be different from everybody else in the product. And we had gone to Nashville and Bowling Green and Knoxville and Savannah, and we were building this product in five or six different cities, and the crash hit. And, you know, those were really, really, really tough times. But as a result of that, we decided that we wanted to come back to Chattanooga, be the best builder we could be in Chattanooga, and wanted to try to become a bigger fish in a small pond rather than a small fish in a big pond. And Wynn and Jennifer at that time sat down and kind of reevaluated everything we did, and tried to value engineer and try to deliver the best possible product for the best possible price of anybody in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And I think
we did that.
And that's what
did a good job.
That's what really launched our company
to that next level.
To the next level and helped us determine what we wanted to be going forward. And that's kind of, we're still that today, I think. I still are from a not a emotional standpoint, but from a product standpoint and a marketing standpoint and a delivery of product standpoint. That's what we still do today.
I mean, we're constantly evolving the types of plans that we're building and the features in them, because what people want today is different than what they wanted 10 and 15 and 20 years ago. And we're constantly evolving that, and we are constantly evaluating how can we deliver the most value to our prospective home buyers. And I think that's, without that evolution, you just get stuck. And I appreciate the fact that we have the freedom to have that evolution. We have the staff and resources in-house to create that evolution and to do those things. And we're in control of that. And I agree that coming through that market crash was such a big time, and everyone who was in the home building industry, there was a before the crash and an after the crash period. And did you survive the crash? Meaning, did you keep your job? Did you keep your company? Did your company stay open? And if it didn't, you were a victim of the crash, but we did. And that was a huge thing to be able to say. It was painful, but we did survive the crash. I survived being employed. Our company survived the crash, and we came out of that probably stronger, very, very conscientious about how to manage our business and our costs.
So much more focused, I thought. And we became rifle focused rather than shotgun focused.
Right. Because we could focus our resources right here in our hometown in Chattanooga and being the best we could be here.
That's right. That was a critical time. Not only for us, but all home builders. And just the fact, as you said, we survived. We survived it, and we thrived after it, because we changed a lot of things that we did and a lot of the way we were running our business.
And when you look back, to hit 100 homes closed in a year is a huge milestone for a home builder, especially one that starts as a startup. And it took us until 2012 to hit that milestone. And we were very close in 2010. We had 99 closings that year. We were so close to hitting that 100. But then after 2012, once you hit that 100, what that really signals is that you've created the right processes. You understand how the business works. And if you are making a profit, you're able to continue growing that business. And that helps you now get to that next level. And someone told me that hitting a 200 closings milestone was easier than hitting 100. And I didn't believe it at the time, but sure enough, we hit 200, I think around 2015, 2016, somewhere in that neighborhood, just a few short years after 2012. And so when you kind of look at that, it took us 12, 13 years to hit 100 and only 5 years to double that. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge accomplishment, I think.
I think what we're facing now is an entirely different set of circumstances than before. The competition has changed. The local builders, there are not as many of them.
Nope.
Some of them have sold out to some of the national builders. Some of them have decided that they want to develop lots and only develop them for national builders. So, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, it was just we were competing with other local builders. Now we're competing with national builders, regional builders. So I think we have got to continue to evolve and deal with. In 2007, 2008, you were dealing with a different circumstance.
That's
different
right.
type of circumstances. Today, we're dealing with a different type of circumstances, and we're still doing really well, but we've got to continue to evolve and be prepared to face whatever challenges facing us.
We have to figure out what niche the national builders aren't filling. We have to try to create the best lifestyle and living experience when you buy one of our homes. And sometimes it's just these little subtle things that I feel like in our design processes, which again, we do in-house and we control in-house. It's not going to some think bank, you know, in one location that serves all of the country, we're able to make those changes and really understand what people who live in Chattanooga need, what they love, and what they need to live and have that lifestyle that Chattanooga is all about.
Mm-hmm. When you were speaking about, you know, no one could have known that you could have moved from Mississippi to do all of this. It's just one of those serendipitous things, because it's certainly hard to imagine Chattanooga even without the footprint of now, what is it, over 2,700 homes that Pratt has built over the years, and just the unique touches. We're in a community right now that is certainly one of what we would call kind of a portfolio community that has some, or signature community that has some really thoughtful touches, just down the street from one that's an older community that still I feel like was a, what would you call,
reunion, flagship.
A flagship type of, mm-hmm. of community that also had a lot of thoughtful living details, sidewalks, now beautiful mature trees. So it's just hard to imagine Chattanooga without communities that emulate what I feel like is a snapshot of what draws people to Chattanooga, the active living. So when you think about how the communities themselves have evolved over the years, what mm-hmm. are some of the, when you're kind of thinking about legacy, what are some of the touch points that you're most proud of in our communities?
I'm gonna let you tackle that one.
You know, I think that's a great question, Brittany, and Reunion definitely was a flagship community. I think it helped bring a lot of, just based on its location, was in a really growing location when it was built in the early 2000s, and it had beautiful homes in it. It had a very nice, unique design, which combined garages on the front of the home and the rear load garages, which at that time was not a concept that you saw in Chattanooga very much. It was a concept that we also did at the Traditions, which was the first neighborhood that you developed. But that it was called a traditional neighborhood design at T&D, and you didn't see that in the Chattanooga market. And so I think Reunion really helped put us on the map. And then from there, we were able to develop some other neighborhoods in that same time period and buy lots in neighborhoods that had already started after the crash. But I think for us, it was about creating a look and a type of home. And we had enough features and enough details on the outside that you could really say that's a Pratt home. And I mean, even today I can drive through certain places and I know that those are the homes that we built. They just have a look about them. They have a feel about them. And it's just some very subtle things that just make them feel nicer and different than the homes in other communities in this area. And then also the tree plantings, the parks, the pocket parks. Over the years, we've done dog parks, you know, of course, pools and cabanas, which are always very popular in the larger family-oriented neighborhoods.
And doing pickleball now.
Now we're that's right. Now we're doing pickleball courts. Those have become very popular. And we're constantly trying to reevaluate what does it mean to have an amenity in a neighborhood, because one amenity doesn't appeal to everyone, or it may appeal to you at various points in your life stage. But, you know, we're trying to be thoughtful about putting in these little reading libraries and benches and places to sit as we stroll through the neighborhood, and pocket parks are becoming more and more common, or walking paths around the ponds that are in the neighborhood. So really trying to create an amenity package that appeals to a lot of people. We've done the walking path we did at the farms, at Creekside, at Hampton Meadows.
Right.
Greyhawk, of course, was a signature neighborhood for us on Signal Mountain, and it had a trailhead. It had a pond that had a kayak launch. It had campsites that we put in that neighborhood, and it was really trying to, once you were home, the concept for that was we want you to be able to stay here and enjoy the nature and the beauty of this neighborhood. And that even today is a very well-known and signature neighborhood for us, even though we've been done with the building in there now for several years. But I think that was one of our flagship neighborhoods that we were really known for.
Yeah, I mean, as we said earlier, we continue to evolve. We continue to try to evaluate the market. We continue to try to determine what people like and want, and just try to fit that need. I've made this statement on lots of occasions. We don't really create the market. The city and the county and the Chamber of Commerce, they're the ones drawing people to Chattanooga. We're just trying to to meet the demand and meet the need of the people who want to live in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of people coming back from Florida. There are a lot of people coming from California. There are a lot of people coming from
Texas,
Arizona, New York. So we want to provide them a nice place to live with moderate pricing, with nice amenities, not over the top on any of that, but just nice, warm, fuzzy, good feeling neighborhoods with nice, affordable houses one of the things that I learned early on, you can't be all things to everybody.
That's right.
And so you have to kind of pick the lane that you want to be in and try to be the best you can possibly be in that lane. And I think that's what we've really, you know, we don't specialize in multi-million dollar custom homes. That's not what we do. No. We have, 30 to 40 different floor plans that you can...
Active in any one time.
Yeah, that you can... And they're changing and trying to meet the needs all the time. You make changes to those to some certain degrees. Mm-hmm. But as I said, we're really just trying to fill a need that the market says that they need.
I'm curious, and I would pose this question to each of you. I think it is easy from a distance when folks may see a home builder to think, you know, that's just big business. But our team puts a lot of thoughtful initiatives into what we do. And when you're speaking about warm and fuzzy, it's a very personal thing, what we do, creating the backdrop for people's lives. Why would you say when you're speaking about Greyhawk, it's like creating a home experience where they don't want to leave? Why would you say that home, the essence of those four walls, you know, why is that an important mission at a high level?
You know, I think for us, creating that home that you don't want to leave or being in that community, it allows you to create relationships and friendships that sustain you in life and really provide joy and value, more value than the paycheck that you receive at work or those relationships. And by creating these communities where you are fostering that sense of community and having front porches where people enjoy a sunset and a nice glass of iced tea and wave at their neighbors as they walk by, helps create those relationships, I think. And then they have an opportunity to see their kids form relationships and these kids grow up together. And I think that's part of the community that we want to create, is a place that people want to stay. They make these long-lasting friendships.
While we're talking about Greyhawk, you know, that's really been one of my favorite communities that we've ever done. The type of land that you get your hands on, whether you buy it or whether you partner with somebody else, in so many cases dictates what you can do there. And that particular piece of property was on the back of Signal Mountain. It was on top of the mountain, didn't have sanitary sewer, so you had to put in septic systems, which meant bigger lots, and you had a lot of topo. And as a result, you got bigger lots, and a little bit bigger houses, and if you go there now, you have to be careful driving down the street there because there's so many kids playing in the street, like I did when I was a kid, and they're running up and down the street, and they're running to the pool and fishing in the lake, and it's really just a derivative of the type of land
and where it is.
That we were able to develop to create that type neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So if you get a piece of land that's flatter and already clear cut, you do something different. You try to create some more parks and more pocket parks and more cool little places in a piece of land. And a lot, like I said, I remember when we did the first one we did, when we did Traditions, it already had a lake on it, and we modeled everything around that lake. It was a beautiful little spring-fed lake. So every development is different from every other development because of the challenges of the land itself.
Yeah, and the unique features
that
they have. The
features that that land has.
And sometimes you're able to take advantage of, if you have a spot on the land that has a nice ridge and you can create some views with certain home sites. Sometimes you have a little lake or pond that you want to keep and model things around that. Another one of our flagship communities, Magnolia Farms, was a very large neighborhood. When we purchased that land, it was 199 homes, and we were able to create some really nice parks and walking trails. I know that baseball has always been a very key part of your life and your family's life, and we were able to create a nice field that could be used for, you know, hitting a ball with your dad and teaching your kids how to hit a ball and run bases, and also could be used for soccer, playing soccer, and just it was really built to help foster that sense of community, of a place to go, a destination in which you could have fun and play games and meet with your neighbors and your friends within the community itself.
You know, I used to kind of manage all the homeowners associations within all the neighborhoods. We got so many, I couldn't do that anymore. One of the things that I would always tell them when I was talking to them, you know, we can create parks, we can create ball fields, we can create pools, we can create all these amenities. But at the end of the day, the fabric of the community, we try to set the tone, but the fabric of the community will be determined by the quality of the people who live in there and the relationships that they make. We try to help them foster those, but at the end of the day, they are really the ones who determine how hospitable and how well that community is, how much fun it's going to be in that, yeah, that community.
Yeah.
So I used to challenge them when I would meet with them is to, you know, meet your neighbors, meet at the pool, have cookouts, yeah, and those kind of things. So it's always kind of fun to watch that, and I don't see that much anymore because I'm not out, but I think a lot of that still happens.
You know, I definitely hear when we put in different types of amenities. We recently installed a pickleball court somewhere that serves as a multi-use court as pickleball or basketball, and I'm hearing it's getting a lot of use and that it's very well received. And so I'm always keeping my ears open for what do people like? What are they want more of? How are they interacting with each other? Because it does change over time. And then even as the neighborhood, sometimes, you know, a neighborhood will age. If people who moved into Magnolia Farms, say 10 and 15 years ago or 10 years ago with young children, those children may be out of the house now. And then what you'll see is at some point those parents will decide to move to a smaller home, maybe a townhome in one of our communities, and you'll see that rebirth. You'll see those kids come back, the families come back, and you'll see another generation of kids grow up and using the pool and the playground equipment. And so it's really fun to see these, to be a part of these people's lives, because we've had some folks that built with us years ago and we are now building for their children, or we are building a move down home for them, something a little smaller, or a town home so they have more time to travel without yard maintenance. And so it's really fun to build again and again for the same people that we were able to build for 10, 15, 20 years ago and be part of that story.
I wonder how many of those we really have. I was in the office the other day, and somebody, I guess 3 or 4 years ago, sold a house in Greyhawk, yeah, and they were in there talking to some of the salespeople about wanting to build a house, I think, at Magnolia Farms.
Yeah,
I don't know that we track those numbers.
I don't think we do.
People that we built multiple houses for, but we've got a good many, I'm sure.
There's definitely quite a few a year, because I hear my designers talking about it that they built for us here, and sometimes I'll remember their very specific house or that buyer from years ago, because I was a lot more active in the day-to-day activities of each individual house. And so when you hear these names come back up, it is really fun. It's a little bit of a blast from the past, and it's also, I think, a huge compliment that says we like the community you created, we love the house that you created, and now we just need something a little bit different, but we're coming back to you because we trust you and we enjoyed where we lived so much.
And referring family and friends as well, which we see, yeah, all the time, even within the same community.
Yeah.
And that's so special, where neighbors are becoming family, or maybe already family in some cases.
That's right. And you know, I think one of the nice things about our neighborhoods is that we are often able to offer various size homes. And we see so many people, especially these families with younger children, and the next thing I know, their mom and dad want to move into the neighborhood to be close to those grandchildren. And the fact that we have enough product or enough types of homes that we can offer the grandparents to live down the street from the from that young family or that growing family is really special too. You know, that they can be in that same community and see each other out and about and be there for each other and watch them grow.
Mm-hmm. Really special. I have one more question for each of you. Mr. Pratt, back to, you know, this podcast is really a lot about Chattanooga and what I think a lot of Chattanoogans are interested in. So on the business end of things, even talking about going from building those more custom homes in a lot of different areas and just hearing more about the process, what was that like navigating that process from a business standpoint, from doing something that was so diverse to now so incredibly streamlined?
It's, in some parts, it was very painful.
Yes.
When we first started, we built what we call traditional neighborhood developments, big, deep front porches and houses. Before, when we first started, I went to Seaside, I went to Celebration, Florida, I went to Watercolor, and I saw all these houses that had been built and developed, and I fell in love with that concept. And those houses were expensive to build on a per square foot basis. So it was a little painful for me to evolve away from that particular house to a house that is a little bit more affordable per square foot. And I resisted that to some degree. But when you go through something like 2007, 2008, 2009, and you go through the pain of that, you have to realize you have to do some things that you know you've got to do, even though it may not be the thing that you really want to do, but you know the market needs what you are trying to create. So I had to change my whole thought process on the types of houses and the looks of the houses that we started building after 2009 and what we're building today. So for me, it was kind of painful, but the reward has been how successful we have been at building houses that I wasn't real crazy about doing at
the time.
Well,
you didn't know they existed at that time, you know. And
so, because I wanted to do something totally different. And
you wanted to be really different from what every other builder in Chattanooga was doing.
When we started, I felt like we needed to do something different and not just do everything everybody else was doing. And we did that. And that's how we created our brand.
Mm-hmm.
But hard times like 2007, 2008, and 2009, will make you tougher, but it really will make you smarter.
Yeah.
And that's what it did for us is helped us, and me especially, helped me realize that if you're going to be in this business and you're going to grow this business, you've got to streamline your processes and you can't be all things to all people. And what you really need to do is get really, really, really good at one particular thing. I use this analogy all the time. If you go to McDonald's, you get what McDonald's has on their menu. If you go to Wendy's, you get what Wendy's has on their menu. We want you to come to us, and we've got a great menu,
mm-hmm.
but you can't get McDonald's
from our menu.
From our menu. We got a great menu, and we want you to come enjoy our menu that we have. So, I don't know whether that answered your question or not, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It
so,
does.
You know, for me, I think over time we evolved from a very beautiful product, very curated product, but it had an it didn't have as much appeal, and it couldn't be translated as well to other neighborhoods or other subdivisions. And so we had to have some different types of homes to build in subdivisions that had already started, where we were able to purchase some lots and some land. And over time, you find house plans that you love and that the home buyers tend to gravitate towards, and you get really good at building those. And then you start developing neighborhoods around certain types of plans. And we've gotten very good at having a nice mix of offerings and a nice menu. For me, I'm very proud of the fact that we can let people customize things and personalize their home, and that we have that flexibility in-house, and we're not as rigid as the larger national builders, where if you want your house 2 feet wider, if, as long as it fits on the home site, let's do that. If you need a deeper garage, we can do that. If you need to transform a loft area into a bedroom, we can do those things. We have so many different options available that for a long time I felt like we never built the same house twice. And for the number of houses we've built, to be able to say that is a tremendous thing, that they all feel personalized and they're for the people that are buying them, whether that be the pre-sale buyers who go through the whole building experience with us, or even in our homes that we build to sell quickly. At the end of the process, we do a lot of our own customization in-house. Our designers get to have fun with those. We still get to put upgrades and fun features and things that we really want in those homes that we want to be sure that our families get to enjoy once they move into them.
And Jen, I wanted to direct this question toward you. With 22 years, I think you said, at Pratt, under your belt of the 25, which is incredible. What all have you learned kind of coming into a family business, which is something we really haven't talked that much about, mm-hmm. local family business. And, you know, you certainly feel like part of the family now. What did it mean to you to become president? And what is your goal as you move forward looking to the next 25?
So I had been at Pratt about 17 years when Wynn Pratt, Mr. Pratt's oldest son, who was at that time president, came to me and said, "Hey, I think I want to step away from the day-to-day aspects of the business, and I want you to be president and run this." And I was completely shocked. Being part of a family business that I'm not a family member of, I never really saw myself in that role. And I was very good in the role I was in. I felt like I still have plenty of things to learn. I knew my opinion was valued and my contributions were valued. And I had enough kind of say of, you know, I had enough respect from other departments and coworkers that I was very integral in the business already. But to take the title of president was a little bit of a surprise to me, and I didn't know exactly what that meant. How does that change my day-to-day? First, you worry about who's going to backfill my current position and do the things that I'm used to doing every day. It took me a little while to kind of work my way out of that. What are my new responsibilities going to be, and how am I going to learn and adapt to those? And just how do I learn how to manage a business? I didn't come up through, a real business aspect of things. I have a construction management degree. I knew a little bit about a lot of things, whether that was designing houses, building houses, estimating. I knew a lot about spreadsheets. I really like math and numbers. And so in some ways, I was probably a very good person for when to select to run this business because of my background and my history with the company, the respect that I had earned from working with various people in our organization. But it's been definitely interesting. Now I spend a lot more time dealing with financials and business decisions than I ever did before. And it was just something I've learned from Mr. Pratt, I've learned from Wynn over the last few years. You know, what does it mean to really run the business? And it's different than the day-to-day of what I did previously. Over the next several years, I don't know where this thing is going to grow to. I can't say that today. I don't know if we're going to go open other divisions or parts, other small businesses to help support us in what we need. My goal would be that we continue to build as many houses as we can in this Chattanooga market. I think we're going to have to expand a little bit further out of where we build. There's some areas outside of Chattanooga that are primed for growth, and we're going to have to continue to look at those areas. I love being at this 200 homes a year number, plus or minus. I would love to see that push to about 240 or 250. But again, do we have the lots to get there? Do we have the resources to get there? Those are all types of things that we have to manage through the business. Is the sales demand there to grow the business? So, you know, it's hard to say, where's this going to end up in 5 to 7 years? I hope we are able to stay competitive. I want to learn how to stay in business with the nationals knocking on our door. Those are the things that are really important to me, is to continue to be as successful as we can in Chattanooga with the changing environment.
Well, I don't know how much time we got left, but one of the things we hadn't even touched on is a big factor that's changed our world in the last 4 or 5 years that we hadn't talked about, and that is when we decided to go into the multifamily home building business. We, over the last 4 or 5 years, we built 200 homes, single-family homes, but we've, in addition to that, we've built another 200 or 300 multifamily, per 200 or 300 per year multifamily homes. So I don't know exactly where that's going to go, but that is another thing that has significantly affected our day-to-day operation and has significantly affected what Jennifer has to do on a daily basis. Not only is she managing what's going on in the single family world, we've got another 250 units a year in the multifamily world, which is all under her umbrella too. So, while I've got the stage, I want to publicly say that the best thing Wynn ever did was announce that she was the president of the company. So she's done a great job, and if you look at what we've done over the period of time she's been president, she's helped us get to another level.
I was going to say, to my knowledge, I think that we would be the only home builder who certainly does the quantity that is done on the single family or single family attached side, as well as multifamily units here in Chattanooga.
Probably the only home builder that's is building, it's maybe somebody else that does a little bit of multifamily, but not the magnitude that we've done over the last few years.
So. I feel like 2 years ago, we between our single family and our multifamily, we pulled around 450 permits, which at that time in this market was probably about a 17 or 18% of the market share, which was significant in any market to be at that level of market share. You know, as the nationals move into this market, the way the permits distribute is going to change. But we typically are a little bit closer to 8 to 10%. But when you throw in that multifamily, it really puts us up there. And you start thinking about, we're delivering 450 new homes or places to live for people in this community. And there's not many people you can talk to in Chattanooga that don't know someone that has lived or lives in one of our homes, whether that be on a for sale or a rental project that they've lived in.
And really meaningful to be able to accommodate someone, whether it's their true, maybe first time living outside of their parents' home in an apartment, all the way to maybe it's that last home in those sunset years. That's really special.
Yeah, we definitely have some multifamily projects that we've done that have been just a great mix. They've drawn in a great mix of people, the way that they set up, whether they're one levels or have a place for your dog in the back. And so you can, you know, your dog can come stay outside during the day while you're at work, or they create that sense of community also, and living close to your neighbors and have a really nice amenity package too.
So I know you have talked about in the past, I was kind of thinking through you as also a female president, which I'm sure shocks a lot of folks that a gal would be leading a construction company. But as Mr. Pratt said, you know, you do that so well. Is there anything that you would kind of speak to on that note as well? Just kind of how you got into a construction management background?
So I always had a very strong interest in home building from the time I was about 7 years old. I remember seeing a home near me being constructed, and I was just mesmerized by it. And even at a very young age, I was super critical of the floor plan they were building and what they should have done differently. And so as a kid, I spent a lot of time studying floor plans and drawing floor plans, and one of my biggest accomplishments in my kind of late 20s, shortly before I moved to Pratt, when I worked for a family-owned builder in Indiana, was that I had designed a floor plan or two, and they actually built it, and it got built, and they sold it, and we built a lot of them. And so that really gave me the confidence that I could be in home building. I had a passion for it, which really goes a long way. If you find something that you love and that you're really interested in doing, I think that propels you to want to be better, want to get up. And it's not just about a job. It's not about going to work, but really loving the business you're in. And so that's how I ended up in the construction world. And I loved just all things building, all things to do with homes. I love the interiors. I love the design side of it. And again, through that comes, you've got to figure out how much things cost. You have to learn how to manage those costs. You have to learn how to manage all these changes. And so I think I got really good at that. And I don't really think of myself as, you know, I try not to think of myself as being unique by being a female in this business. There are a lot of women in construction, and a lot of times we're in more office roles or we're behind the scenes. But I have really enjoyed just being in the home building business and being able to see these homes get built. And it is something that I love. I love driving through Chattanooga and seeing our neighborhoods to this day. I get kind of a little bit of emotional about it because it's fun to be a part of it. And obviously, it's my life's work.
Is there anything that either of you would like to add? I'm sure we could talk for so much longer. So I know this will be our first podcast, but certainly not our last. As we celebrate the anniversary, just kind of any final thoughts on 25 years?
I said it earlier. It's been a great ride. It's been a fun ride. And I still get up. I'm almost 76 years old. I get up and come to work every day. And I look forward to it every day. I love being around the young people. I love being around all the ladies in the office. And so, you know, I want to do it as long as I can, as long as I can slip off and play golf. Yeah. I don't want to play golf. So I have to balance how much golf I play and how much I want to work. But it's been the most rewarding, from a business standpoint, the most rewarding 25 years of my life. I had a great 27 years prior to that in another business. But this has been a fun ride.
You've probably worked harder the last 26 years in starting your retirement business than you did in previously.
No doubt about it. But it's been fun. I enjoy it every day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we so appreciate Jennifer Dorsey and Mr. James Pratt for being on our very first Pratt Home Builders podcast. So Pratt Home Builders is Chattanooga's leading builder where neighbors become family. Wherever you may be watching or listening to this podcast, we hope that you will visit us on prattliving.com. There's so much more to learn about this great local company in Chattanooga. Tune in for the next one, and we'll talk to you soon.